A couple of weeks ago, we had Father James Mallon here over a few days. And you may not have heard of Father James prior to that weekend. And if this is your first time here, or if you weren't here a couple of weeks ago, you may never have heard of him at all. But in Catholic Church world, he's a big deal. He's very well known. He's had TV shows on EWTN, which is the largest Catholic television network in the United States. He's spoken at major conferences around the world, and he's written a book that's a bestseller in the religion category. And more importantly for us, he is the founder of the Divine Renovation Network. Now, that network has nothing to do with TV. It's the network of parishes that we belong to that gets ongoing coaching and support in applying the principles of parish renewal that Father James puts forth in his book. In visiting us, Father James got to meet the senior leadership team. He met with a good number of our staff. He met with a large number of you. And I cannot tell you how proud I was to show off St. Ignatius to him. I was so proud of our team, of our staff, of our people. Heck, I was even proud of this building, as ugly as it is from the outside. Everything that weekend seemed to be firing on all cylinders. The welcome was great. The music at all the masses was really good. Father James's preaching was really inspiring. And my personal conversations with him were really uplifting. You know, and last week in one of the podcasts he does, he spoke about his visit with us and how much he enjoyed seeing what we're doing here. And this past Thursday, he was talking with the priests who are part of this network. There's 60 some odd pastors from around the world, from the UK, Australia, the United States, who are part of this network. And again, he was talking about his time here at St. Ignatius. I loved hearing that, and I loved showing the parish off. I was so proud of all of you. Right now, we're in the second week of our Advent preaching series called Coming Home. And last week, we focused on the idea that we are God's household, His family. And as such, we ought to recognize that all of our family, regardless of how far they are from God, are always welcome to come home. And today, I want to focus in on the idea that details matter, that attitudes matter, if we are truly going to radiate hospitality and warmth this Christmas. In the first reading today, the Lord says, "For God will show your splendor everywhere under heaven." Your splendor everywhere under heaven. And St. Paul in the second reading talks about how much he longs for the people of Philippi and prays that they continue to abound in the love of God and love of one another. And I think there are two things in those passages that tell me something about Christmas. The first is that the Lord wants us to shine. He wants His people, His house, to shine forth for all to see. He wants us to be splendid so that we are attractive to our guests and our visitors, that we make a great first impression. And that means we ought to be proud of who we are, be proud of our parish, and want to make Christmas splendid and joyful for anyone who comes to join us during the holidays. This is just like you do in your homes. When anyone comes to visit, you want to make it as welcoming, as pretty, as inviting as you can. And the second line from St. Paul speaks, I think, to our motivation. If you're having people over to your home during the holidays, you don't clean and decorate in order to show off your house, or at least I hope you don't. I hope it's actually because you actually care about the people who are coming. You want your guests to feel special and cared for. It's the same here in the church, or at least it should be. We want to show off our church because we want people to feel special and cared for. You know, St. Paul, I think, has it right when he says, we long for others, and he says, and we've produced the harvest of righteousness. Not self-righteousness, mind you, but a harvest of good fruit that we want to share with others. You know, what gave me pride here a couple of weeks ago is all the people who've had transformed lives at the parish. All the people who found acceptance and healing, who forged strong friendships and grown closer to Christ. All the people who've discovered new talents, discovered their gifts, and realized they can grow and lead others. What gives me such pride is how tangibly present the Holy Spirit is here. And that fills me with hope for the future and hope for every one of our guests who will join us at Christmas. That's who I care about. That's who I long for, our guests. And I think, you know, Jesus in Luke's gospel says, "For the Son of Man came to seek out and save the lost." This Christmas, we will have lots of people who are coming home. Some of them will be lost. I want them to encounter Jesus here. I want them to find him in everything that we do, everything that we say. I want Christ to be present. And so the details matter. And so that's why we're going to spend time making sure everything is clean, that everything's, you know, decorated, and make it look as best as we can. You know, last year we had a group of volunteers doing this, and I remember there was even some volunteers who were scraping chewing gum out from underneath the seats during that. Tyler was there. Yeah, Tyler. I remember Tyler doing that. He's our keyboardist in the band here. Tyler, who's, how old are you, Tyler? 21? 20. He's 20 years old, and he's underneath the, scraping off gum that's probably older than him. And he's doing that because his grandmother was coming, because he wants it to look great. He wants this place to shine for all who are coming. I know it's kind of gross, but we had people who cared that much about the details, that they're willing to do that. That's inspiring to me. Seeing that makes me want to work that much harder, make the decorations that much better. The details matter. The details matter for our guests as they come in. Our attitude matters even more. And not simply our attitude towards our guests, but how we treat one another matters. Last week, I told a story that my mother found slightly embarrassing about one of my great aunts. If you remember that, you might know why it was a little bit embarrassing for her. And that didn't even directly involve her, but today this one's going to directly involve her. So I don't know how she's going to feel about it. We'll see how this one flies. Once I moved out of my parents' house and I moved into an apartment, I would often come home to visit on Saturday mornings. That's usually what I come over for, is on Saturday mornings. And I would just walk in the door, and usually my folks were sitting there in the living room reading the newspaper. And I would sit down and I'd pick up a section of the paper and start reading. And it would take forever to actually read the paper because most of the time we were talking rather than actually reading. We're catching up on each other's lives. And then we'd have a late breakfast together. And I remember one time walking in and I could tell that something was up. I could tell that my mom and dad were mad, and this time it wasn't at me. Usually they were mad at me. I'd seen them mad at me. Well, more at my brother. My brother was terrible. I was an angel. But I could see that, you know, they were mad at each other. They'd had a fight. And I don't know what it was about. I don't know if it was just that morning. I don't know if it was lingering from the night before. I don't know. But I could tell that something was up. And so that morning, reading the paper was just that, reading the newspaper. Breakfast was quick, and I left fairly soon after. And the next Saturday, I went over to my parents' house once again. But can anyone guess what I did when I got to the house? I rang the doorbell. I rang the doorbell and waited to be invited in. And my folks were back to being their normal selves. I guess it was just a regular old fight that couples have, and I never asked about it. But it later struck me that I rang the bell rather than walk in to my childhood home. They were mad at each other. They weren't mad at me. But their argument definitely made me feel less welcome. That wasn't their intention. My parents didn't not want me to be there. But their mood, their attitude at that moment towards one another made me feel less welcome. I think the thing that I am most proud of that's happening at St. Ignatius is the sense of community that's forming, the caring for one another, the friendships and the feeling of belonging that's actually drawing more people into our church. You know, that Sunday that Father Malin was here, we had baptisms at 1 p.m. after the Mass. And Father James and I, you know, we were greeting and talking to people after the Mass. And afterwards, he's talking to me as we're towards the end. And he goes, "Isn't it great? Isn't it great having all these people hanging around, talking to their friends after the Mass? Isn't that amazing that you actually have to kick them out for the next activity? How many churches do that, that you actually have to kick people out so that you can get on with the next thing because the friendships are so deep that this is the highlight of people's weeks?" Every once in a while, I watch, you know, I turn off my brain and I watch HGTV. That's what I do when I want to turn off my brain. I watch shows where people flip houses. I don't know why I like that, but that's what I like watching. And, you know, usually what ends up happening is they get the home staged before they put it on the market, before they have the open house, right? They get in these professional stagers and they come in, and the homes look terrific, but you can tell when it's staged. There's something inauthentic about what you're seeing. You know, usually it's something like there's giveaways, like there's no shower curtain in the bathrooms, or there's no TV in the living room hanging on the wall. The centerpiece is like people are supposed to talk to each other? No, come on. In the living rooms, that's not what people do. There's something inauthentic about it. And you can tell when it's fake. This Christmas, we are going to pay attention to the details and the decor. It's important. That's what makes a great first impression when people walk in. But it's also important to have an attitude that's welcoming, that's loving towards one another and towards our guests. Everyone knows when they're going to come to church on Christmas that it's not decorated like that all the time. Just like everyone knows at your house that it isn't perfectly clean and decorated for Christmas all the time. Our attitude, however, will have a lasting effect on people. Last week I quoted the prophet Jeremiah, who said that in the house of the Lord there will be laughter and gladness and singing. I think that's what we want to hear as we enter a home. Laughter, rejoicing, maybe even some singing. No one wants to come home and hear everyone fighting and angry and upset. I know that the Christmas season can be stressful. I know that there are often arguments this time of year. I know that the franticness of getting everything ready can lead to frowns, can lead to short tempers. It's like that in our homes. It's like that in our spiritual home. But let's take time in both our homes to laugh and to rejoice a bit too, to sing and find gladness in the midst of all the preparations. It actually makes a difference. It actually allows us to be more warm and welcoming to those who are coming home. Remember that there are people who haven't had warm and fuzzy feelings in the past when they've walked into a church, maybe even when they've walked into our church. Remember that there are people who need to be invited in order to encounter Jesus, because that's why our parish exists. That's actually why our parish exists. That's actually why the church exists, to bring people into a life-changing encounter with Christ. Christmas, the whole point of Christmas is God making himself one of us so that we can know him, so that we can encounter him. He's trying to make it easier for us to encounter him. That's what Christmas is about. This Christmas, Will we make that encounter easier or harder for people? John the Baptist, in today's gospel, says that rough ways need to be made smooth, that valleys need to be filled in and mountains and hills made low. It's about making it easier to encounter Christ. It's the whole point of Christmas. Will we make it the point of our Christmas?